Pete, normally I start the question off, what do you currently have going on? But I do want to tell you that you are going to be Album of the Month. That's right. Rise of the Hero is going to be Album of the Month for the month of April. And, you know, talk a bit about the album and what do you think about it?
Oh, awesome. That sounds terrific. Great. Thanks for the flowers. Well, I mean, right now I'm obviously right in the middle of doing promotion after doing all the European promotion, which is getting a little bit lower by now. It's now the U.S. promotion I'm doing currently, so I'm quite busy with that. And, yeah, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, I have to tell you that The Landing, your previous record, was one of my favorites from 2011. In fact, it was a top five album. I really thought you guys kind of came back to form and really did an outstanding job on that record. And, you know, my question for you, Pete, because the response for The Landing was so good, did you feel any pressure for this new album, for Rise of the Hero, to be even better than what, The Landing was?
Oh, absolutely. The pressure was really hard on me, especially when it came down to songwriting. Production-wise, I felt pretty safe because we've done a very good job with The Landing, and so I could use The Landing as a basis for that. So production-wise, I felt secure, but the songwriting really was of time because the mark of The Landing was really high, and it was a real hard nut for me to crack.
Now, you guys have stayed pretty consistent over the course of your career, and, you know, still to this day, my favorite album by you guys was Unification, but, you know, these last two records have been some of the best stuff you've put out, and I'm not really demeaning any of the previous albums between Unification and now, but it almost seems like the band came together and found itself again, and, you know, what led to that? What led to the band basically coming together and putting out two really super outstanding albums?
Well, I mean, this absence, of course, was not really wanted, but in the end it turned out to be really good for the band because I mean, also speaking of the fans, who I think most of the fans didn't even have Iron Savior on the radar anymore after 4 years of absence, and many probably thought, well, they just quit secretly, and we're really surprised that the band is back and still in action and then also returning with this kind of an album like The Landing was. That really was a great thing. I mean, also for us, I mean, we were really overwhelmed by the really positive and great reactions all over the world, and that felt awesome. And so here we are, 2.5 years later, with Rise of the Hero, and again, I mean, it's getting even better. We're not used to that, I must say. So we're really glad that things obviously turned a little bit for the good old Iron Savior guys, and that makes us really, really happy, I must say.
Well, I have to say, you know, I really haven't been the biggest power metal fan over the last few years, with the exception of some albums, you know, like you guys are putting out some good stuff, and maybe Helloween and some other bands that are really putting out some good stuff. But, you know, one of the songs that caught me on The Landing was a song called Heavy Metal Never Dies, and it almost feels like there was a parallel between you writing that song and the fact that you guys are putting out some great stuff, almost like, you know, Iron Savior is never going to die.
Wow, thanks. Well, I mean, that song really is very special to me in a very personal way, because you might know that I used to own a record label called Dockyard One, which went bankrupt, and, I had some really rough times going on, and also especially in those 4 years of the absence of Iron Savior. And, the thing is, the record company went bankrupt, and my so-called partners just vanished and left me alone with all the cut, which, I mean, I really had to pay off a lot of money for that, so it was also really financial-wise a big pounding thing for me. But also, spiritually, you know, I mean, I was really down and depressed for quite a while, and I thought of quitting music in general because I was really sick of it all. And, after solving the major problems and sending the whole thing off to AFM Records, a couple of months later they called me and asked me if I would be interested in doing an Iron Savior album again. I said, okay, why not? I lost a lot of money. I could use a little bit, so I do it. I didn't have any plans with it at all, and I was basically writing this album for me, you know. And so coming back to Heavy Metal Never Dies, I mean, if you look at the lyrics and have this little story in mind, they might not appear as cheesy as they may appear on first sight. So this is really kind of a little bit my story. I mean, the music sort of like brought me back into life, and not only the music, but it really helped big deal.
You know, as a musician myself, I know writing lyrics and going through some hard times, you get inspired to write some really, really cool stuff. And, you know, you were just talking about how you went through a lot of bad times and had a lot of bad stuff happen. And did this translate into the songwriting for The Landing?
Absolutely. I mean, Heavy Metal Never Dies was pretty much one of the I think it was the second song I was writing for The Landing. And when I had that done and was listening to it, it really brought me back, you know, and I was I was on fire again, you know, and I was really digging songwriting again, sitting in the studio recording music and just be a musician and create music. That was something that was lost for a couple of years, you know, and I was really enjoying myself big time writing all the stuff for The Landing. And so coming back a little bit to Rise of the Hero, that was completely different this time because the songwriting really, there was a lot of pressure on me because of the success of The Landing. And it really, for a while, I was really blocked, you know. You probably experienced that yourself. I mean, because I was thinking, it's all crap. It's not measuring up with The Landing. I have to rewrite this part. I have to get a new chorus. That sucks. No, it was good. Put it back in. And, you know, and I was driving myself crazy, being so super critical with myself. And, luckily, after a while, also with the release date drawing nearer, the drum studio was booked, and the pressure, the time-wise, was getting more and more. I said, okay, Pete, just write music again like you did on The Landing, and that worked in the end. So, and now, I must say, I'm really happy with Rise of the Hero. I think it's a great album with really awesome songs on it.
I think about how much I love this album over The Landing, and I love The Landing, don't get me wrong, but it almost goes back to when you first started out. I remember when the first Iron Savior album came out, and it had so much praise, and everybody was talking about how awesome it was, and then, you know, you had to come up with the follow-up, and that would have, of course, been Unification, which now is still one of my favorite metal albums of all time, and it's almost like this parallels it now, because I like Rise of the Hero a little bit better than The Landing.
A little bit, because with the Unification, I kind of had the same pressure on me, and I was kind of like the same super critical kind of guy, you know. And that also came to my mind when I was finding myself in this situation again with Rise of the Hero, and I said, okay, Pete, you know that, and don't give it room. Cut it out now. And that really worked. And I do agree a little bit. I mean, Rise of the Hero, I think Rise of the Hero, in a way, shows the entire Iron Savior back catalog compressed into one album.
You know, there aren't a lot of European power metal bands that I'm really, really into right now. But, you know, maybe I'll put Gamma Ray in this category along with you, where you guys aren't really breaking any ground with your songwriting. And really, to be honest, you're not really changing the style of songs you are writing. But what I think is really cool is the fact that you guys still, the songs don't sound stale, even though the style of songwriting really isn't that different. And to me, it's a lot easier to write a different type of material as opposed to keep writing the same type of material but still making sure the songs don't really sound that stale.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, people do expect Iron Savior from Iron Savior, which and we do have some certain trademarks that needs to be fulfilled style-wise and also sound and production-wise, so there's not too much room to be experimental, you know. But it's also something that we really don't want to do. I mean, we are not here to reinvent the heavy metal wheel, you know. It's there, and all we do is, I think a good term is that we're constantly trying to come as close as possible to our imaginary perfect metal album, you know. I think that's pretty much the deal. And of course, as time is moving on, production is getting better or changing. Likes and dislikes are changing. So our music also changed a little bit. But it's still, there is this imaginary super album, you know, which we always, of course, trying to reach. And since humans are not perfect, of course, we will never reach it. So there will always be headroom for us to overdo us.
Now it's time to talk about the album Rise of the Hero. And Pete, you know, is this a concept album? Maybe talk a little bit about what the songs are about and just talk in general about the album Rise of the Hero.
Well, I mean, I stopped doing concept albums with the Battering Ram, and I think that works well for me, not doing concept albums anymore, because I liked it in the beginning, but by now I really feel narrowed and limited by concepts, because even though you have a great story that which you can continue, like the Iron Savior story, I could continue that forever, of course, but in the end it's still kind of like the same words that I use for it, you know. And so on Battering Ram, I opened up myself for non-sci-fi lyrics, and that is the case also on Rise of the Hero. So we have a couple of songs that continue on the Iron Savior saga, which is of course obviously the last hero from from Far Beyond Time, Thunder from the Mountains, and Fire's Storm. The story is basically, it's about an ancient character from ancient Atlantis, the last hero. These hero-like guys were like a bunch of superhumans, you know, altered and enhanced a little bit so they could basically live forever. But unfortunately, they were not invulnerable. So they actually could die. So throughout the centuries, they all kind of like died by assassins and other stuff, and it's this last hero, when he finally died also by murder, and that sort of like is also marks the beginning of the end of the Atlantean civilization, and the rest is known. Atlantis got destroyed and was lost in the seas forever. But there also was this old prophecy saying that the mighty hero will return some distant day in the future to save man and the universe one more time. And so he does. And most of the people might think now, yeah, okay, well, it's the Iron Savior vessel, of course. But that's only partial, right? Because it's not this Iron Savior vessel thing, which is the last hero. It's the good old bio unit, this human brain, which is part of the Iron Savior. And this brain now, after, 300 and something years, like a really, really long time, embodies again in a mighty avatar shown on the cover of our newly record, and returns as the reincarnation of the last hero to do his job, save man and the universe from unspeakable evil. So that's the story for those four songs.
You know, that's almost like a dramatic book reading.
You produce your own records, and I've run into this issue too, Pete, where you just sit there and you're thinking, man, you just completely feel like you're overthinking everything, and really when you start playing it to other people, they're like, you know, what's wrong with you? This is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking of that earlier. That exactly was the case with me here, and it would have been, that actually was the first time I was thinking, okay, it may be a producer, somebody that you really trust to, if he says, yeah, it's good, then you might could sit back and relax a little bit more. But, well, you know, having a producer also is a question of money, and so I'd rather save this money and produce it myself, of course. And I am self-confident enough of my abilities, so even though this was really hard, I managed again without having an external producer. I mean, I was asking my bandmates, of course, about the songs, how do they like them, and kind of. And I also have some friends which I use as metal meters, you know, and gave them a couple of some stuff to listen to, and basically they were all saying thumbs up, you know, but it was not enough for me, you know. This wasn't enough because I was thinking, well, maybe they say thumbs up because whatever, they don't know what they're talking about, or you know, it's really hard. I mean, I am a crazy guy with this concerning this. I I really like to work with me, myself, and I.
Do you find it easier to produce another band's album as opposed to, say, producing your own?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I'm working for other people, I give, of course, advices, and if I really think something must be done the way I think it should be done, then I also do fight a little bit for it. But in the end, I mean, it's their product, and if they want it differently than I suggest, then I just do it. No problem with that. But of course, with your own stuff, it's totally different, you know. In a way, I know that I do have this ability to, so to speak, step out of myself and just be like an external producer and listen to the stuff rather emotionless and just analyzing if it's good or not. But yeah, I mean, for other people, this is a lot easier, of course.
Now, you did some re-recorded version of some of your older songs on The Landing and, of course, on this album. And why have you decided to do updated versions of these tracks?
Well, I mean, that idea was born with The Landing. And it was usually, I mean, we're known to have one or two cover versions along with our albums of other people. But I was really kind of bored by this, you know, by the time. Because we've been doing this a lot in the future, and I really couldn't think of picking another classic metal or rock tune and, well, just polish up the production a little bit and try to get as close as possible to the original again. It is fun, and in a way, of course, but I didn't feel challenged by that. And so I had this idea to just re-record to cover our own stuff. And because there are a lot of songs from older albums, especially from the first ones, like the debut, Unification. Of course, they do have their very own sound, and they do, in a way, still sound cool to me. But for example, from the Landing, Atlantis Falling, or Coming Home, or even now, I've Been to Hell. It sounds really better with 2000 with an up-to-date production. And of course, these songs evolved a little bit throughout the years, and the idea was to record them more or less the way we perform it live on stage by the time.
Well, speaking of covers, I'll tell you what, the one cover I really loved by you guys, and I know you did a couple Halloween covers when Kai was in the band, and you've done some covers on some other albums, but I'll tell you what, my favorite cover that Iron Savior has ever done was actually on the Interlude EP, and that was your cover of Desert Plains. I really thought you did that song a lot of justice with that cover.
Yeah, I must say, I still like this version as well. And that was a good, you know, this was kind of like a good idea we had for a cover version, you know. But by the time, I mean, since we have been doing so many cover versions, I'm running out of ideas a little bit of what to do, you know. I really didn't feel like doing the 10th Priest version of whatever song again.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did some pretty cool covers in the past. I mean, I always thought Neon Nights was a great cover version. And Desert Plains really isn't a song that is typically covered by most bands. Everybody's covering Electric Eye or something off the Screaming for Vengeance, or they're doing, you know, You Got Another Thing Coming. But I really thought Desert Plains and a cover that you did was really, really cool. And even some of the re-recorded versions of your songs, I thought, had a really cool sound to them as well.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, it's also a never say never thing, you know. Maybe next time we'll be in the mood again to do a cover version of an old classic again. I don't know, but so far, I mean, this re-recording things we are quite happy with.
Now, how's the reception been for Rise of a Hero, and what kind of response have you received so far for this album?
Well, I mean, here in Germany, we did hit the German album charts at position number 76. So in Germany, the reception is even better than with The Landing. So yeah, really thumbs up, I must say. Also here over in Europe, we see a lot of really, really great reviews on the album. And as far as AFM is telling me, the sales are really great, better than with The Landing. So yeah, I mean, we're making good progress here. And also getting some feedback from the U.S. Also sales in the U.S. are really good. I mean, I think at the moment Amazon is sold out. And fans obviously really dig our stuff. And also the media really like us, and so we're absolutely happy.
Pete, I'm one of those people that I'm a very, very open-minded and impartial reviewer, meaning that, you know, I loved the last album, but I didn't hold these super high expectations for the next one because I really don't know what to expect. So I always give things a chance. And the thing is, I really like Rise of the Hero a lot better than The Landing, even though I thought The Landing was very good. One of the things that I thought was the best aspect of this album, too, Pete, is the fact that my favorite songs on the album are towards the end, meaning that as the album went, the album ended up getting better for me.
Well, I mean, that is, that's, of course, really great to hear, because that might be the only, well, problem maybe is the wrong word, but that's the only thing that might be, not a problem, but, you know, because this album is quite versatile, you know, there's Blind Guardian influenced stuff on it, so to speak, and there are simple, easy rockers on it. And so for some people who are more into this speed metal stuff, the second half of the record is not as good as the first one, and for other people who are more into the really straightforward classic metal stuff, the second half is better than the first one, you know. But in the end, I think the album does please both fractions of fans, you know, and in the end, the balance of the different styles on this record is good, you know, and is pleasing to people in general.
I really thought the cover of Dance With Somebody was pretty amazing as well, Pete.
Well, I mean, here we see a 50-50 likes and dislikes, especially over here in Europe, where this version was quite big in the top 40s some years ago. So here in Europe, most people know the original, and it's like 50% of the people say, really, okay, great job, we like it, good version. Didn't like the original, but your version is cool, and of course there are the other 50% is to say it sucks.
Well, look.
But we were, of course, aware that this would bring up some discussion within the scene.
And Pete, that's what the really cool thing is about this, is the fact that you made a metal version of this song. I had never actually heard the original song, so I went back and listened to it. And to make a metal version of a song like that is actually not the easiest thing in the world for a lot of bands. And that's what I think is cool about Iron Savior, and especially these last couple records, is that, you know, there's a couple variations on some of these tracks, a few tempo changes that you normally hadn't used in the past. But to me, not only making a cover like that into a metal song, but making yourselves evolve a little bit without changing your sound, I thought was great.
Yeah, absolutely. And one trick, so to say, to keep an album interesting and not too linear, you know, and also not because we were speaking earlier of how to keep power metal alive through all these years, is one secret to me is that you, of course, you have to always try to do an album which is, which offers a lot of variety, you know, which is not only speed metal songs or it's not only fist pumpers, you know.
Pete, do you guys plan on playing any shows to support this album?
Well, I mean, we are. What we don't do is we don't do a regular tour because, I mean, this is not working for us too well. This a regular tour, usually, you know, you have to be away from home for several weeks, and usually you don't see any income. And sorry to say, but that is just not possible for us anymore. I mean, we're all bastards. We are almost, we're like around 50, you know, and we have family, we're settled, we have jobs, and so we really cannot just, we're not 25 anymore, you know, without just going on the road for the fun of it. That's not happening for us anymore, so, what we will continue on doing is pretty much what we have been doing the past 2.5 years with after The Landing, which we call that internal our weekend only tour, which means that we're going to head out on weekends, fly here or drive there, and play on festivals or do some headlining shows. And that's exactly what we're going to do in the future. So, and right now we're booked for a couple of festivals over here and in Europe, and we also have some headlining shows coming up. You can get a little bit more, but think that's it. And, of course, we do hope that we make it sometime over to the States. And, I mean, if the States are good enough for that, it's not that, it's not too unlikely that this would happen someday. But also not for an entire tour of like several weeks or so. It probably would be coming over for a week and playing some selected gigs and then flying back. But that was something that I really would like to do, and that definitely is on my list of to do things.
Yeah, I do remember you guys did play Prog Power once or twice back in the day too, as well.
Yeah, we did play Prog Power, and we also played when we played Prog Power, we also played a show in New York. But that's really years ago. I think that was 2008, if I'm not mistaken, or 2009. So it's about time to come back to the States, I'd say.
Prog Power is just a unique thing, and there's really nothing like that anywhere else in the U.S. And you get a lot of bands that normally wouldn't be able to come and do a tour or even play that many shows.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really great festival. I've been there twice. You know, I've been there with Iron Savior and... I think the year or 2 years before I went there was with my former band, Savage Circus, and I really like this festival. I like the whole atmosphere of it. Not too big, not too small. I mean, the contact with the fans is really direct, and it definitely has a great vibe to it.
You know, it's always cool, as I always thought that you guys maybe should play on one of those heavy metal cruise ships, you know, like that 70,000 tons of metal, and have you thought about maybe wanting to play something like that?
Yeah, that would be something that we would really enjoy to do. Let's see if that is happening. Would be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get money for that as well. I mean, the pay is that you can enjoy yourself on this cruise ship and play a show. But anyways, I mean, I think it should be really fun, and we'd love to do that.
I know it's a little bit too soon to ask Pete, but I have to ask you, have you guys thought of any ideas or written anything down for songs for, you know, say the next record?
Well, I mean, what I'm discussing at the moment a little bit with AFM is that I think it's about time to come up with a DVD. I'm talking about a DVD for 10 years by now, as far as I remember, but I think this time it's pretty likely that it's finally going to happen. We need to find a good occasion where to film all the video material. And so the DVD would be one part, and the second part of this in-between feature, you know, between the albums, probably could be that we're going to do some more re-recording stuff, and so that in the end you would have a DVD section with a nice Iron Savior show, and also some old classics re-recorded like we did on The Landing and on The Rise of the Hero.
And as always, for my last question, Pete, you know, do you have any last words to say to any of the fans that are going to be checking this out on the radio show?
Well, absolutely. What I really have to point out one more time, and I really can't say that often enough, is that how great we felt with The Landing, receiving this really ultra-warm welcome back from all over the world. And this really made us feel really awesome. And now that we're experiencing the same thing again with the Rise of the Hero, even better, what can I say? Thank you to all out there who are supporting us all through the years, and especially for me personally, who helped me out of the shit I was experiencing before The Landing. Thank you for all.